The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, I'm super excited to have everyone back, but I'm even more excited to have on our guest today. He's the co-founder of Jake and Gino Barbaro. Thank you so much for joining us today, Gino. How are you?
I'm doing great, Cody. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you making time. For those that maybe haven't met you in the community, haven't found your stuff yet out there on the socials, would you mind giving us just a little bit of information about where you're from, how you got into real estate, and what kind of real estate you find yourself in these days?
That could be a 20-minute question right there, but I'm going to condense it down for you real quick. Started a restaurant business back in 1994, got out of college with my family, loved it. Was in it for about 20 years. Around 2008, Great Recession comes. It's my pandemic. Everything shifts. Grubhub, Uber Eats, competition, technology. And I'm the mom and pop. And I just didn't like it. I was working harder and I was making less money. Does anyone out there have that feeling? I mean, it's happening right now again, right? Things are shifting. But I had a learning lesson. I read the book by, T. Harv Eker. It's called The Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Changed my mindset completely. I stopped blaming the pandemic at the Great Recession at the time. I started taking responsibility. And for me, I had already done a couple of real estate deals. We're going to probably discuss one now, the unsuccessful one. And that led me to multifamily. I was working at the restaurant 50, 60 hours a week. I didn't want to fix and flip homes. I wanted something quote unquote passive or something that I could grow into. And I had already owned the fourplex. So I said, hey, let's try multifamily. But what I did with this one was I got a coach. I had joined a couple of mentorship programs, and what I like to say is I invested in my education, because to me, losing $172,000 is a lot more than investing 15 or 20 grand in a coach. First big lesson, right? And we all go to college. We spend a couple hundred grand in college without batting an eye. We get student debt. We, do all that stuff. And we don't think, well, you know what? If I want to get into this endeavor that I've never done before, how do I do it? And for me, I learned how to underwrite. I learned how to do all of this stuff that I didn't know, pre-coaching. Met Jake in 2009. He was a drug rep working out of my restaurant, getting orders for the pharmaceuticals for his doctors. And 2011 comes, he leaves New York. We're both in New York, and he moves to Knoxville. I didn't know where Knoxville in Tennessee was. Us New Yorkers, we know New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut at the time, the tri-state area. So when he goes to Knoxville in 2011, I'm like, dude, really? Whip out the laptop. At that time, LoopNet was a pretty big thing. I'm looking at these deals. I'm like, these deals cash flow, Jake. Let's start buying some deals. And, Cody, it took us 18 months to find the first deal. We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't have the buy right, manage right, finance right, but we stuck in it. Like we said before, remember, if you have a big enough why, you'll figure out how. That first deal took 18 months. The next deal took 3 months after that. The next deal after that took 6 months. So that first deal was really, really important for us. It got us the momentum. It got us into the game. And more importantly, I met an amazing partner that I still have to this day.
Perfect. Love it. Yeah. I mean, such a compelling story, right? And for those on the other side of the fence, when we look at New York, we all just believe all New Yorkers live in the city. So if it's any fairness to what you were saying, we just believe everyone from New York lives in New York City. Big state, just one big town.
Anything north of the Bronx, New York is upstate for all you non-New Yorkers. You leave the Bronx, you leave the borough of Manhattan, everything else is upstate for the people living in the city. So
good to know. So Gino, as we were talking a little bit before we hit record, it hasn't been always super successful. And that's why we wanted to bring you on today. Talk about what helped you and lessons learned to get you to where you are today and being successful. So I think you had a really compelling story you wanted to share with the audience.
Yeah. For me, the first part is everyone on here, when you're getting into real estate, I all want you to think big, think really big, have those big goals, start a vision board, have the vivid vision. I'm reading Cameron Harrell's book, Vivid Vision. Try to think out a year, 3 years, 5 years, what your life looks like, and then reverse engineer that. But on that first deal, it doesn't have to be an absolute home run in terms of size. And that's what I thought back in 2005. Picture this. I'm at the restaurant. Economy's going really well. I've got some money in the bank. And I always tell people, a person with money meets a person with experience. The person with experience gets the money, and the person with the money gets the experience. And that was me. Had an extra couple hundred grand in the bank. I met a quote unquote investor operator in mobile home parks through a really good friend of mine who coincidentally had been doing deals with him for a few years. So this operator sponsor, if you want to call him that, I call him crook, incompetent buffoon, but I was the incompetent buffoon. Ultimately, we partner up. Now in this deal, Cody, I made so many mistakes. The first thing that I made a mistake on is I didn't even know how to invest in mobile home parks. All I saw was money here, passive investment. He's going to take care of it and give me a check. Did Gino ever get on the plane? No. Did Gino even know what a cap rate was? No. What's a cash on cash return? Hold on a second. Is this a syndication? I didn't know what a syndication was at the time. Really, not many people did back in 05, but he's taking money from me. It's a passive investment. Go Google the Howey test, H-O-W-E-Y. It will tell you what a syndication is. I didn't know that. So this gentleman's taking money from me. Where are my documents? Don't know that either. Are we getting on weekly calls to see what the property's doing? I mean, there are a multitude of mistakes. I'll give you a couple more. Did I buy the asset right? Are we managing it right? Did we finance it right? The three-step framework that we talk about, I did none of those three, right? Did I buy the asset at the right time in the market? We can talk about the three pillars of real estate. What is the market cycle? What's the debt on this property? And what's my exit strategy? I had no exit strategy. I'm just going to give him money and hopefully I get a check every quarter and be passive. So for everybody out there, the biggest learning lesson that I had in this deal was I did no due diligence. I didn't get on a plane. I didn't vet the sponsor really well, because if I had vetted him, I would have said, this is not for me. But ultimately, everybody, it comes down to value-based decision-making. His values were not my values. That asset that we bought, I'm not saying that mobile home parks aren't a great investment if you're buying right, but it was in a depressed area. Median income was terrible. I should not have bought that asset, because for me, it wasn't didn't fit into my values. So look at what your values are and look at what you're trying to do with the asset. And then ultimately, it's the education piece. I was not educated. That this deal was a godsend for me for a couple of reasons. I lost a lot of money. But at the same time, I said to myself, I need to get educated. I need to know what a cap rate is. I need to know how to do due diligence. I need to know how to underwrite the deal. And that pushed me into multifamily and actually into investing into my education.
I think that's so compelling, because many of us, as you said, you ultimately got a coach, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't think we think about enough as we're growing up. We've had teachers, coaches, guides, whatever you want to call them, at most stages of our life, whether you did something athletically or academically or whatever, typically had somebody guiding you that had some sort of foundational principle in doing that. So looking back to where you were and unfortunately not doing the due diligence and that sort of thing, that's where the pain and the hurt can come, because you're just going in blindly and saying, okay, numbers look good, money in, money out. But if you don't know, understand how it works, and to your point, and I love this, making sure the values align. That I think that is an often overlooked thing, and hopefully not as much anymore now that we're a little bit more educated. We have a lot more resources, podcasts, books, bigger pockets, different websites, that sort of thing that we can go to. But still, there are many people that don't even know this world exists.
And I agree with you. The accountability piece to me is important, right? When you invest in your education or you invest in a coach, you're not going to waste your time. If I'm paying Cody for some information or for some advice or for some guidance, and I'm getting free information from Cody, I might not take it. But if I'm paying Cody $1,000 an hour, guess what? When I get on that call with Cody, I'm ready to go. Cody, what homework did we have last time? Oh, I had to call 6 brokers. I had to do a property tour. Well, I'm going to do that, because I'm not going to let Cody down and I want to get my money's worth. It's really weird how that happens. And I'll give you an example on our third deal. On our third deal, I had a coach. It was a $4 million deal at the time, 136 units. And it was a little overwhelming. I mean, we were going into a much bigger deal. We had done a 25 unit and a 36 unit. So in this deal, my coach is giving me due diligence documents. He's giving me takeover letters. He's giving me the underwriting templates. And I look like a rock star to Jake, because Jake is like, dude, where are you getting all this stuff? And oh, by the way, how did you create this credibility book? I didn't tell him. And then, you know, 2 months after the deal's closed, I'm like, dude, I had a coach the whole time. You know what I mean? And it was amazing. And for that investment, I saved hundreds of thousands of dollars. The technique of actually having the broker hold part of his commission as a note, because we didn't have that extra $50,000. I didn't come up with that myself. My coach floated me the idea. So was it worth me to spend X amount of money to get that one little tip? I would not have done that deal if I did not have that coach. It really helped me out. And then actually structuring the deal with a partner that we brought on, where our partner lent us money as part of the down payment. And all he did was we paid him interest back when we refied him out. So we had more equity in the deal. What is that worth? Looking back at it 3 or 4 years later, that one tip, I'd probably create an extra $2 or $3 million of net worth from that one little tip. So these are all lessons that you learn and then you can carry them forward into your life.
Yeah. And as you said, it could be a hard pill to swallow for those that are jumping in, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, sometimes for a coach, sometimes more. It can be a tough pill to swallow. But yes, to your point, the back end success and the amount of revenue it can generate for you on the back end,
mm-hmm,
it is astronomical compared to that front end investment. So we have to, as you mentioned at the top, when we think about our vision board and where we want to be in 3 to 5 years, we can't limit ourselves in the next 6 months in what we're going to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking back to that first deal you were talking about, for those that are maybe looking at passively investing, maybe real estate, they don't want to make real estate their mm-hmm full-time job. They want to passively invest. They like the income. They like the mailbox money. They like the potential tax returns or tax benefits. What are some things that they should be looking for when they're wanting to align their values? What are things that they need to ask or do that you wish you would have done on that first deal?
There's a laundry list. I think the first thing you need to do, I didn't have this when I first started, just Google syndication and start listening to all the podcasts. Go to the Jake and Gino channel, listen to all the syndicators that we've podcasted and listen to their different stories. I think the next thing is formulate what your goals are. Do you want to invest passively? I think investing passively in a deal as a limited partner, you're going to learn. But how do you invest passively? I think, you know, you're going to invest $100,000 or $200,000. And you, if you're thinking to yourself, well, I can't invest $20,000 in my education. Well, you're going to put $100,000 with somebody that you don't know. And you have to learn how to vet the sponsor. That's the most important thing. Learning how to understand the sponsor. Are they a good sponsor for the deal is number one. Number two, are they investing in a market where you'd invest in? Number three, the underwriting. Do you understand the underwriting, the financials? Number four, do you know the type of team that they've assembled? When I look back at my first deal, that buffoon, I like to call him, Maserati Mike. He's driving around a Maserati. Now I know why he's driving around the Maserati. Did he have a property management company? I didn't know his property management company. I didn't know who his attorney was. I didn't know the title company was. I didn't know any of the team members on the team. If I had seen that, maybe I would have said, you know what? Let me call the property management company up and see what other assets they're actually managing. So understanding all of these different ramifications, you can be passive, but when you're underwriting deals and investing in multifamily or in any, whether you're doing a single family fix and flip, you need to understand that model. And you need to understand is if you're going to put your money in there passively, underwrite it as if you're going to do it actively. And then once you understand that you're like, you know what? I like this deal. I want to commit to this deal. Then you're able and you're confident to actually put money into that deal. And once you have skin in the game, everything changes when you have that skin in the game. When you put that money in, don't make the same mistake that I made in my first deal where it's, you know what? I have a little extra cash. There's no such thing as extra cash. Millionaires and people who are wealthy, they don't see that as extra cash. We don't want to get sloppy. And it's funny because now that I've become financially free and I've got all the money in the world, I still have that mindset. I don't want to waste my money. I want my money to be valuable because we're all stewards of our money. What we do today affects our children and it affects our grandchildren. So we're here. It's not ours. Ultimately, it's ours to give away and ours to share. So don't be wasting that money. Use it as profitably and as wisely as possible. And for you to do that, you need to really get educated.
Yeah. And I can't echo that enough. I mean, the more education you can do on anything, but specifically this, and if you're going in and you're not sure, you're not certain, this is a brand new avenue for you.
Mm-hmm.
Over-educate yourself, right? Yep. It would be worth it to miss out maybe on an opportunity if you don't feel comfortable with what they're telling you. If some of the terms that the operator's throwing out to you don't make sense, then go do your research. Don't invest your money yet until it does make sense to you. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think those are incredibly wise words. I can't thank you enough. I know you're incredibly busy. You got a lot going on with Jake and Gino. So we appreciate it. For those that maybe want to work with you, connect with you, learn from you, what's the best place that they can go to find out that information and contact you?
You just go to jakeandgino.com. If you go on there, you'll see the blogs we have. You'll see the podcast. We have 4 weekly shows on our podcast. We have a YouTube channel. Go on there. And if you want to email me gino@jakeandgino.com. And I'll send you a PDF copy of The Creative Cash. We just launched a book with our coach, Bill Hamm. We're thinking in the near future, debts pulling back, creative cash, owner financing, master lease options are going to come back into vogue. They just have to. If rates go up, deals start hard to finance. It's in here. So just reach out to me, gino@jakeandgino.com. Love to send you a PDF copy of the book.
Perfect. Well, Gino, thank you so much. I really do appreciate the time today.
Thanks, Cody. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. See you next time.
You've been listening to the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast with Cody Lewis. Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.